Well, good morning to all of our hearty souls that could make it out this morning. Glad to see everybody here. Thankful to have another opportunity to worship together. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverend, is your matchless name. Lord, we thank you that this morning, out of your goodness to your people, that you've given us another opportunity to meet together and to worship you. Father, how I pray that you enable us to do that this morning, that you send your Spirit upon us and enable us to worship you. Bless your word as it's open, we pray, and enable us to hear one more time of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that everything that we would hear would be mixed with faith, that you'd give us a hearing ear, a receptive, a believing heart, that we would not just hear things about our Lord Jesus Christ, but that we'd hear him and believe him, and cling to him, cause us to rest even more fully in him. Father, we pray that you'd bless those who can't be with us this morning. We pray that you would give those who are on the roads safety and safe travels, and that you continue to watch over and bless your people. Father, we pray for those who are sick, who are sorrowing. We pray especially for Peg Wooten and her family at this difficult time, that you comfort their hearts with your presence, and that you cause us to be a help and encouragement to them. Father, we pray that you bless our children's classes. Cause your gospel to run well in those classes, that the seeds of faith might be planted in the hearts of our little ones. How we beg your mercy for them. Father, again, in this hour, bless us with your presence. Enable us to see more of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his blessed name we pray. Give thanks. Amen. All right, Revelation 21, we looked at the first 8 verses last week, but I want us to take a closer look at verse 5. I've entitled the message this morning, The New Birth. Verse 5 of Revelation 21. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, I've reminded us often during our study in the book of Revelation that this book does not simply tell us what God will do at the end of time. The book of Revelation tells us what God is doing, what he will yet do, for his people, what he has done for his people. Now, this is the Savior speaking in verse 5, sitting upon the throne. He says, Behold, I make all things new. Now, certainly that does apply to the new creation. There is coming a day when he'll burn up this creation, create new heavens and a new earth. But he's also talking about what he is doing for his people right now, how he is making all things new for his people. Every time the Lord saves someone, reveals Christ in them, he's made all things new for that sinner, hasn't he? Now, that's vital to salvation. There is no salvation without the new birth. Our Savior said, you must be born again. There can't be any salvation unless we're born again. We've got to be given a new man, because this old one can't be improved. He can't be renovated. He can't go be with Christ. Now, I'll show you why, verse 8. Remember verse 8. This describes all of us by nature. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that describes all of us by nature. We're all fearful and unbelieving. It's what we all are. So it's obvious if we're going to be saved, we must be given a new heart, a new nature. We must be born again. We can't just be renovated. You can't put new wine in old bottles. They'll just burst. We've got to be made new. So look at Galatians chapter 6. The new birth is not improving the old man. The new birth is not making that old man of the flesh do some good religious things and call that salvation, call that the new birth. Because there's no profit in any of those things. If we would be saved, we must be made a brand new creature. Galatians 6 verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The only thing that avails anything, the only thing of any value in this matter of salvation, is a new man who's been born of God. Now, there can't be any salvation without the new birth. Salvation, the salvation of a sinner, requires the work of the whole Godhead. If there's going to be salvation, there must be the work of the Father in election. He must choose us first because we'll never choose Him. There must be the work of the Son in redemption. Somebody must pay the redemption price. Somebody's got to make us righteous. Somebody's got to give us an obedience. That's the work of the Son. And thirdly, there must be the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. Now, you can't make one of those more important than the other two. Salvation requires the work of all three, or there is no salvation. So the new birth is the birth of a new man. A man who never existed before. It's life where there never was spiritual life before. And that's why we see the new birth has to be the work of God. Because only God can create life. That's true physically and spiritually. Only God can create life. So this is the work of God alone. And that new man is a man who's born. He's born in a very similar way to the way the man of the flesh is born. How's a fleshly baby born? A fleshly baby is born from the fleshly seed of his father. Well, so is the new man. He's born from the seed of his father. But pretty much that's where the similarities end. Everything else about that new man is different. Our Lord said, I make all things new. Everything about that new man is new. The only thing the man of the flesh can do is sin. That's all he can do is sin. Because he's born from sinful seed of a sinful father. But the new man can never sin. Because he's born from different seed. New seed. He's born of holy seed of his heavenly father. The man of the flesh is a slave to sin. The new man is Christ's free man. It's all new. The man of the flesh is under the law. The new man is under grace. So when the Savior says, behold, I make all things new, he means more than a new creation. He means what he is doing for his people right now through the preaching of the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That word new Paul uses there is the exact same word, the same Greek word that's used in Revelation chapter 21. They're talking about the same thing. So if God has saved us, everything about that new man he's created in us is new. All the old ways are passed away. Now, every believer still has two natures. Don't mistake the new birth, meaning that the old nature, the old desires, the old sin has passed away. Now, every believer has two natures. We still have that old man we were born with. We're not going to get rid of him until we put these bodies in the ground. That old man is just as sinful and just as strong as he's ever been. But there's been a new man born in the believer. And that new man rules. Now, the new man and the old man fight each other forever. They have that civil war going on inside the believer forever till the body dies. But the new man rules. Now, that doesn't mean that we sin less than we used to. We live more holy, you know, than we used to. If it means that, we all feel like we're in trouble. Here's how you know the new man rules. Old things are passed away. Because the old man, he doesn't rule anymore. Because he cannot stop us from believing Christ. He can't stop us from loving Christ or needing Christ or resting in Christ. So in that way, the new man rules. So when the Lord saves us, everything is new. And all the old things are passed away. Now look at Mark chapter 1. I'm going to go through, try to put these all in order. I want us to look at some scriptures to see how everything is made new for the believer. When the Lord reveals Christ to us and in us, everything is new. First of all, what the Lord says is we get a new doctrine. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now, they said, this is a new doctrine. This is a new teaching. Now, salvation in Christ is not a new doctrine, is it? It's the old, old doctrine, the old, old story of grace and salvation in Him. But when Christ came, This doctrine was new in this sense. It was fully revealed in him. You know, the Jews always, they thought that salvation was by the law and the ceremonies. They had trouble seeing how these things pictured Christ. But once Christ came, he revealed that salvation's always been in him. He revealed what all those pictures, what all those types, all those ceremonies meant. That it's all in him. And when Christ comes in his saving power, he saves in authority. He calls his people, and they don't have a choice. They come to him because this is the day of his power. Father elected those people into salvation. Christ saves those people by his righteousness, by his blood. And the Spirit, when he calls, he gives those people life, he gives them faith, and they can't say no to God when he calls. Because God has all power and all authority. So man's works, man's power, man's decisions doesn't have anything to do with it, does it? Salvation's of the Lord, of his power. That's the doctrine of salvation in Christ. It's in his power. Now look at John chapter 13. When the Lord saves a sinner, we get a new commandment. Now the old man, he's always lived with an old commandment. The commandment of the law, which says, do and live, disobey and die. That's the commandment. But when the Lord saves us, all that's passed away. And all things are made new because Christ already obeyed the law for us. Christ already died for us. So that commandment's passed away. We're free from the law. But we're not free from a commandment. The Lord gives us a new commandment. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now the commandments of the law were always grievous to us, weren't they? But our Lord's commandments are not grievous to us. Not if he's given us a heart of love. They're not grievous to us. We have a new commandment, a commandment of love. Then when the Lord saves us, he gives us a new will. Now what's the will of the flesh? The will of the flesh is to be God ourselves. The will of the flesh is to say, no, God, I want to make the rules. I want to decide how a sinner can be saved. I want to decide how I can come to you. That's where all false religion comes from. It comes from the will of the flesh to be God myself. To say, I'm going to decide how this matter of salvation goes. It's the same thing as what happened to Eve in the garden. I'm going to be God myself. I'm going to be the one, not just to know good from evil. I'm going to be the one to determine what's good and what's evil. I want to be God. That's the will of the flesh. Man's will is to destroy Jesus, to take him off the throne and put ourselves on the throne. In Luke 23, verse 25, Pilate, after he tried everything in this world he could do to set the Lord free, he finally delivered Jesus to their will. That's what the Scripture says. And what was their will? The Pharisees got them to cry out to give us Jesus to destroy him. And when Pilate turned him over to their will, that's exactly what they did. They crucified him and killed him. But now look at Romans chapter 7. But when the Lord saves us, all that passes away because the Lord gives us a new will. And we say with the Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And I know we don't do it perfectly, but that is the will of every new man. It's the will of every new man. I talked to a man this week who just found out, just in the past couple of weeks, his wife has got 2-3 months to live. And he said, Frank, we've got a lot of peace with him. He said, this is the Lord's will. He said, now either God's on the throne or he's not. This is the Lord's will. And we have a lot of peace with it. He said, now pray for us to stay that way. We don't do it perfectly, do we? No, but that is the will of the new man. Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, after the new man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I'm not going to get rid of this flesh. All it can do is sin. But my new will is for Christ to save me by His grace, not by my obedience. My new will is that God forgive me for Christ's sake, because of His blood, not because I've done something to deserve it. My new will is for Christ to keep me by His power, not me to keep my own self by my own morality. And my new will is the Lord enable me to serve Him and follow Him and surrender to His will. Then when the Lord saves a sinner, we get a new walk. Now, we used to walk after the way of the flesh, the course of this world, after the prince of the power of the air. And you know, most of that walk, mostly, it's not just the way of the flesh, which is to seek to please the flesh and all the sinful things of this world. But I tell you what, the worst way we demonstrate the walk of the flesh is the walk of false religion, the walk of self-righteousness. This walk, this way, this conduct that I want to be God, that I want to decide how it is that I can be saved. But when the Lord saves us, when He reveals Christ to us, all that passes away. And we get a new walk. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, for a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's our new walk, is not to walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit, to walk seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk seeking salvation and righteousness in Him. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When the Lord saves us, we get a new knowledge. We have new knowledge because He's given us a new mind. A new mind that can know things. And a new heart that can believe things. Now, I tell you what we used to think we knew. We used to think, I know this. I can be good enough to please God. If I just will straighten up and quit doing this and start doing this, I can be good enough to please God. And all of the knowledge of the flesh is simply ignorance. It's simply darkness. And when the Lord saves us, all that passes away. All that what we used to think is knowledge, we count it but dung. It passes away. And we can say truly with the Apostle Paul, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I used to think just the opposite of that, but now I know in me dwells no good thing. The only goodness, the only righteousness that I can have, I know this, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's the new knowledge God gives His people. I know the only righteousness I can have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason I have the glory is found in Christ. All right, Galatians chapter 2. When the Lord saves us, all things are new. We get a new life. Now, our old life was a life of the flesh, wasn't it? It was a life seeking pleasure from the flesh. It was seeking sinful things. But like I said a minute ago, more importantly, it was seeking the pleasures of the flesh in religious things. Seeking to promote myself through religious things. By looking at religion as something that I've done. So I can say, look at me. But when God saves us, when the Lord reveals Christ to us, all that passes away. We quit wanting to look at ourselves. We quit wanting anybody else to look at ourselves. And we get a new life. A life of faith in Christ. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I live. I live in Christ. I live through faith in Christ. Not by any stretch of the imagination of my own works, but through faith in Christ. Then when the Lord saves us, we get a new relationship with God. Now the old man has a relationship with God, doesn't he? But it's a relationship of a servant to a master. We're always trying to work. We're always trying to keep the law in order to please God, in order to please our master, to earn something from him, to earn his favor, because otherwise he's going to damn us. Now that's the relationship of a servant to a master, isn't it? But when the Lord saves us, when he reveals Christ in us, that relationship passes away. And we get a new relationship with God. Now, no longer are we servants. Our Lord said, I don't call you servants. I call you my friends. I call you sons and daughters. The Apostle John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we, you and me, us, that we, somebody like us, could be called the sons of God. That's our new relationship with God, that we're sons. And that's exactly what Christ came to accomplish. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that, here's why he did that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's the new relationship we have, the relationship of a son to a loving father. Right then, when the Lord saves us, we get a new way of righteousness. Now, the old way of righteousness, the way that the man of the flesh thinks is the way of righteousness, is try to earn it by keeping the law. Now, that seems right to men, doesn't it? That just seems right to the flesh. If I want to please God, if I want to be righteous, I've got to keep the law. That seems right. Well, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And all of the ways that seem right to the man of the flesh are the ways of death. We can't keep God's law. We can't do anything in our own bodies, our own selves, to please God. We'll look at Ephesians chapter 4. That's the way of the flesh. But when the Lord saves us, when he reveals Christ to us, if God ever gives us a view of the Lord Jesus Christ, that old way, trying to keep the law to earn a righteousness, is going to pass away. If we ever seek Christ, we're going to seek righteousness in him, by God's grace in him. Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That righteousness is created in the new man. He's created in righteousness. He's created in true holiness. And he'll never lose it. Ever. He's created righteous and holy. Now, righteousness. Righteousness is not something that's simply a legal term. It's on the books in glory, and we won't get it until we get there. No, the believer is righteous. He created righteous. Isn't that what the Word of God says? He created in holiness. He's already righteous in Christ right now. Right now, he's righteous. And that righteousness is so real. That union with Christ is so real that when the Lord saves us, we get a new name. No longer do we have to go by our worthless name, the worthless name of Adam. But Jeremiah said, this is the name wherewith she shall be called. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. That's how real that righteousness in Christ is. And really, this new way of righteousness we find out is not so much a way, is it? But it's a person. When God reveals Christ to us, we quit looking for ways and things to do, but we look to a person. He is our righteousness. Then look at Philippians chapter 3. When the Lord saves us, we get a new way of worship. Now, the old way of worship was self. That's all false religion. You just watch it on TV, listen to people talk. It's the way of self. People want to get up and say, look what I did for Jesus. That's what the false prophets always try to get people to do. Go out and do all this stuff for Jesus, you know. And that's what, it's just what their hope is. Just listen to them talk. It's, you know, I decided to let Jesus into my heart. You know, look how I gave this week. Look how I sacrificed. Look how I witnessed this week. You know, and the whole theme of it is, yay me. Yay me. And then later on, oh yeah, and yay Jesus too. That's the way of worship of false religion. Just listen to it. You can't deny it. But when God saves us, when He reveals Christ to us, all that passes away. And we get a new way of worship. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and in truth, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That new way of worship is the way of worship in spirit, worshiping Christ. John 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit. So they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not a fleshly thing of the motions of the flesh, is it? Our new worship is spiritual worship. Then when the Lord saves us, we get a new goal. Everybody's got goals. I tell Jan all the time, you got to have a goal. You got to have a goal. Nobody gets anything done, it's got a goal. Well, I'll tell you what the goal of the old man is. You never can get rid of it. It's to promote the flesh. It's to promote self. And the goal of the old man is to, you know, just out in the world, is to get as much as you can of this world, no matter what it costs them. But primarily, it reveals itself in religion. It's to promote self. Self-righteousness, what I did. But when the Lord saves us, all that passes away. The goal of promoting self passes away, and we get a new goal. Our new goal is the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. All those things I used to count as good, all those things that were my goal, I count them but loss. I put them away. They passed away. And I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He's my goal, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. That's my goal, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after. This is my goal that I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, those things I think are sinful, those things that I think I did which were good, I forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's my goal, is to know Christ, to win Him and be found in Him, so that when God looks at me, He doesn't look at me, but He looks at me in Christ. So when God looks at me, all He sees is the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a new goal. Then, look at Hebrews chapter 8. When the Lord saves us, we get a new covenant. Now, that old man, he had a covenant, the covenant of the law. Which covenant we break? The covenant of the law can never give us life because we can't keep it. All we can do is break that law. So that covenant, all it can do is condemn us. But when the Lord saves us, all that passes away. That old covenant passes away. And He gives us a new covenant. Now we're under the covenant of grace. And the covenant of grace saves sinners. Every last one of them it saves. Because Christ already met every condition of the covenant. Hebrews 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For also know me, from the least to the greatest. And I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. See, that old covenant has passed away, and this new covenant always saves sinners, because Christ ratified it with his own blood. And that's why the Father said, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness. I won't remember their sins and iniquities anymore, because it's all been put away under the blood of Christ. And our Lord Jesus told us that. Remember when he instituted the Lord's table, he told his disciples, this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That word testament is the same word covenant. It means it's a covenant. And the covenant of grace was sealed with the precious blood of Christ. And that's why that covenant of grace always saves. Christ met every condition of it. He obeyed it perfectly, and his blood paid the penalty of it. So all that's left for his people is mercy and life and grace in Christ Jesus. Then when the Lord saves us, we get a new way of coming to God. Our old way of coming to God was by our works, by our morality, wasn't it? And that's a way that's full of fear and trembling, because inherently we know our works aren't good enough. Inherently we know we've not done enough to please God. He won't accept us. We always have this feeling we've got to do more. Unless our conscience is seared, we always know we've got to do more. But when the Lord saves us, all that passes away, and we get a new way of life. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having the high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Not in fear and trembling, but in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In Revelation chapter 5, when the Lord saves us, we get a new song. I heard this song on the radio the other day, and I thought, that is the song of the flesh. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Isn't that song of the flesh? It is, isn't it? Look at me. That's the song of the flesh. Look at me. But all that passes away when the Lord saves us. We get a new song. Now our song is, Look at Christ. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That's the new song that is in the heart of every believer. All right. Well, I got too much information here, too much notes. We'll end there. But you see how that works. When the Lord says, I create new heavens and a new earth, he's not talking about only what he's going to do at the end of time. It's what he's already done in the hearts of his people in the new earth. All right. Lord bless you.